Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready. I'm in the Clark Ford Studios. Russell Johnson is with us as well. Russell of RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com does a great job covering recruiting for our site, for the Georgia Tech site as well. So we'll get to Russell in just a moment. We'll talk some college football recruiting. We'll talk some basketball recruiting as well. But first, let me tell you, warm weather is on the horizon. It really is, I promise. And with it comes the inevitable debate of sock or no sock with your loafers. So save your feet and your shoes from making their own impression and step into spring with some no-shows from Dead Soxy. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's the first step in dressing for the job you want and not the job you have. So go to DeadSoxy.com, enter the code RebelGrove at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including sale items. These no-shows are the same quality you already love and enjoy with Dead Soxy's traditional dress socks, and they come with Dead Soxy's no-slip guarantee. So go to DeadSoxy.com and check out their no-show collection. And remember to enter promo code RebelGrove at checkout for 30% off all orders. Like I said, I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. No hassle, no haggle. It's right to the bottom line. You get your quote, and you decide what you want to do with it, whether you want to go ahead and start on your deal with Corey or whether you want to shop around for a while. Either way, it's cool. You're going to end up coming back to Corey because he's right to that bottom line. You're going to love the deal you get. You're going to love the service you get, delivery options, all of that. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove it to you. Call him. Ask him what that means, and then get your deal done, and at the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast, and you'll save $500 off your already great bottom line. Again, the number 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good. I am desperately waiting for the time to say sock or no sock with some loafers up here. It has been nonstop cold. I mean, you get in the wind chills and the negatives, and then in the mornings, it's like in the teens, and I'm like, I'd really like to be wearing some loafers right now and being able to decide whether or not to wear socks. But other than that, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I'm finally healthy. I have almost my full voice back, so that's good. I mean, last time we were on here, it was a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, you got through it okay. We had a sketchy moment that we had to edit out where I thought that not only were you losing your voice, but I was a little concerned you were losing more than that. But you bounce back. You sound better. All right, so let's jump into it. Got a handful of topics to get to. We're nowhere close to a signing period, but things are happening. So Ole Miss filled out their recruiting class. I mean, not their recruiting class. Their coaching staff. John Summerall, as you know, left Ole Miss for Kentucky, and there was a vacancy on the staff for a couple of weeks there. Matt Luke filled it yesterday unofficially. I think it will be official maybe by the time people hear this podcast. Jeff Coons from North Texas. He has been with Tommy Tuberville at a number of stops. So he's been kind of all over the place. Has a really strong resume. What do you know about Coons as a coach and as a recruiter?
So, you know, when John Summerall left, Ole Miss had a decision to make. They could have gone one of two ways. The other rumored name was, I think Ron Roberts is the first name, but he's more of a seasoned guy who is the X's and O's and a little bit lesser on the recruiting trail. And then you could have gone full on, like when Freeze hired Freddie Roach, hiring somebody who has no experience as an on-the-field coach, but, you know, experience as a GA or, you know, somewhere along that line. And then you have what Matt Luke appears to have done with Coons, is hire somebody in the middle, you know, a youngish coach who has, you know, has good, obviously good recommendations coming from the Tommy Tuberville coaching tree, was a co-defensive coordinator in a conference and at a school where, you know, Seth Luttrell just had one of the best seasons North Texas, I think, has ever had. And, you know, being able to do that and seeing the recent success is a little bit different, you know, for Ole Miss fans, because usually when you see a co-defensive coordinator or a co-offensive coordinator leave a school like that this late in the year, well, I guess you could call it this early in the year, you know, since we're springing ahead this weekend. You know, because of that, he is able to – I don't know how to say it, actually. You know, what I'm trying to get across is the fact that he's a successful co-defensive coordinator, and being able to add him to the staff from an X's and O's standpoint, it can only help the linebacker group, and it can only help Tyrone Nix. And it's really one of the best hires you could have thought of. I mean, when Sumrall left, you know, Coons wasn't somebody who – I would have thought was even looking to leave North Texas, but I'm sure, you know, he knows that Luttrell will be on to greener pasture soon enough. And
yeah,
he sees his opportunity in the SEC to kind of show his ability, just like Sumrall did, show his ability to recruit at this level in the SEC West and to coach in this level at the SEC West. Now, is Coons some seasoned recruiter who's signing 4 and 5 stars as the primary and secondary recruiter? No. But what Coons does is Coons is a very good evaluator. He will not offer somebody either unless he sees him in person or just absolutely falls in love with him on tape, similar to what Tyler Siski already does. So I think those two will kind of mesh really well. And then, you know, everybody's talking all of a sudden like they're going to just dominate Texas and that he's going to help tremendously there. He has relationships in Texas. He has relationships in the state of Alabama. He has a couple relationships in the state of Ohio. I highly doubt Ole Miss is going to start counting on the state of Ohio for recruits. But, you know, in Alabama and Texas, those are two strongholds in the 2020 class from a talent standpoint.
I don't know if you heard – so people will hear – blah, my voice. People will hear this on Thursday. So we taped the Wednesday Oxford Exxon podcast on Wednesday. So you and I are talking on Wednesday afternoon. You might not have heard the podcast earlier. I kind of worked my way through a theory about filling out the coaching staff and maybe what Matt Luke is ultimately trying to do as he, you know, tries to stabilize the program, take it to the next level. So feel free to tell me that I'm an idiot here. I just sort of played with it as the morning went along. So much last year was criticized by recruits, by high school coaches, by everyone about how the defense didn't look prepared. They didn't look organized. They didn't look like they had a plan. They didn't look like they could line up correctly. You know what I mean? Stuff like that popped up all the time. I'm wondering if what ultimately Matt Luke decided to do as he filled out his staff with obviously, you know, veteran coaches of Rich Rodriguez and Mike McIntyre and, you know, all those guys. I mean, he went out and got veteran guys who've coached for a long time. I'm wondering if the decision that he maybe made, even subconsciously, was let's put a product on the field that is far more organized, far more disciplined, looks like it has a plan, so that when the kids see it, meaning the 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that you're recruiting, when they see it, they're more impressed with it, and the people around the program can say to those kids, okay, here's what we do. It's schematically sound. It is strategically sound. And when we get athletes like you in it, it's going to be more effective. Here's how you would fit. I wonder if maybe they're thinking, as opposed to going out and getting the, quote, dynamic recruiter, end quote. Because sometimes, Russell, I don't really know what that means, and I've covered recruiting, you know, for a long time. I wonder if it's just we've got to make, we being Ole Miss, we've got to make the program look more disciplined, look more organized, look better coached.
I would agree with you on that. I really would. I think that's imperative, especially when you're going to have to recruit nationally and, you know, getting these kids on campus to see the installs and to see what's going on. I mean, you know, spring football may not be overly important, but those kids being able to see that is.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of install right now. You're right. I think it is, you know, when they have kids at practice on the weekends, I think it is important for those kids to see a little bit of what the install is and what it precisely it is, not only on the film, but in the not only on the field, but in the film room. You know, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Here's where you would fit. I don't know that the previous defensive coordinator, and I don't want to criticize him, I just don't know that the previous defensive coordinator could really show kids that.
Yeah, I mean, when you hire a quote dynamic recruiter as the defensive coordinator, that's taking a risk and taking almost half of his playbook from him just right there. And, I mean, that was almost destined to fail. Nothing against McGriff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he wanted to prove himself. He thought all these things about becoming a head coach. But it didn't seem balanced enough to where he was still recruiting, and that's where things kind of got slippery.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get back into a Hugh Freeze thing. It was a reflection of, in my opinion, it was a reflection of his lack of a network.
Yeah.
Matt has more of a network. There's no question about it. Matt has a network that includes Phil Fulmer and David Cutcliffe and Tommy Tuberville and others. Joe Panunzio, he's got a strong network of coaches that I think he can lean on, not only for ideas and suggestions and recommendations, but I think he can pick their brain. And you know, I've been critical of Matt's decision to keep Longo and McGriff a year ago. I think if you were to inject truth serum into him, he would admit that he thinks he probably made a mistake there. The flip side of that is I'm very complimentary of Matt's lack of ego. This is a guy that has gone out and has shown that he's willing to hire people who in some ways, and I mean this in a cumulative body of work, not them as quality coaches. I mean, we'll see. Matt can't. It's not Matt's fault that he's in his 40s and not in his mid-50s, if that makes sense. He's hired guys that, on paper, are more qualified than he is. It takes a guy with precious little ego and a lot of confidence in himself to do that, and he's done it. And, frankly, he's put a pretty good staff together. I mean, when you watch him working on the practice field, and we don't get to see a lot, but we get to see some. There's a difference. There's no question that there's a difference. I mean, Rich Rodriguez has a plan offensively. I mean, I'm going to flat tell you that. You know, he has a plan offensively, and Mike McIntyre has a plan defensively, and they're installing this, in pieces. They're trying to install it in a way that the kids will retain it, and they're also installing it in a way that acknowledges that there are a lot of kids coming in June, that they're going to have to teach it to them and install it again in August. So it's been interesting to kind of watch what they're doing. So that leads me to this. I know last weekend they had some recruits come in. They break for spring break after, I think, Friday's practice. So there's nobody coming in this weekend. But then we'll get into the late March, early April portion of spring, and they're bringing kids in. So let's start with this. You don't have to go down a full roster or anything, but who were some of the highlights of some guys that did come in last weekend, and what kind of impressions have you gotten regarding how it went?
So, you know, first off, the main takeaway from the weekend, which was something that I knew was, you know, a possibility, especially after, you know, closing out in the state of Alabama so strongly you know, with Ladarius Cox, Brandon Mack, Patrick Lucas, and being able to sign that many in the state of Alabama last year, where Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, et cetera, were dominating, or not dominating, everybody got their share, it seemed like, in the state. It seems as if that's going to be the case again in the class of 2020. And with that being said, you know, Jackson Bratton, the linebacker for Muscle Shoals, who's committed to Alabama and camped last summer, he was there. Jason Jones from Fultondale, the athlete, they just really want to get him on the field. Don't really have a position for him yet. He left with an offer from Birmingham. Jamarian Latham from Pickens County, defensive tackle, really, really, really had a good trip. I would say, you know, of all of the kids from the state of Alabama, I'd say he's the one that they probably have the best chance at currently. You know, actually getting back to Bratton real quick, Bratton is somebody who, when he committed to Alabama, he said he was done with recruitment, that he wasn't taking any other visits, and, you know, he was all in on Alabama and on, you know, playing for Pete Golding. I think when everything started to unravel with you know, Golding and Ole Miss and Oklahoma, and, you know, him ending up becoming the defensive coordinator, you know, his eyes kind of opened a bit. I'm sure, you know, some other Alabama commits I'll get to in a little bit. But, you know, they see how easy and open these coaches are to just, you know, getting up and leaving and moving on to greener pastures. And you know, Alabama can, you know, afford to do that every year from a talent standpoint and all of that. But some of these kids, it kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth. And I'm not sure, you know, Bratton hasn't been overly responsive since his Ole Miss visit. I'm going to try again later this week. But that's kind of where it seems he's at. I know he was really close with John Sumrall. And, you know, being that he is an inside guy, I'm curious to see how he builds a relationship with Coons once he gets to Ole Miss, once it becomes official. I just wanted to touch on him real quick because he's talented enough to, I wouldn't say walk in and start, you know, having Lakia Henry, as long as everything works out there, and then a couple of other pieces that they have on the roster. But, you know, he's somebody who would come in, compete, and, you know, I wouldn't call him country. I don't know Muscle Shoals, Alabama too well. I've only been there a couple times. But, you know, he's got some talent, and he's got some people around him that will really help him develop as he enters his senior year. And then rounding out the state of Alabama was Keyshawn Woodyard from UMS Wright in Mobile. And him, he's got an offer. It was given to him by John Sumrall and not Jacob Peeler. So it's not really clear as to what the status is of that offer, whether it's committable right now or not. But I just want to touch on the state of Alabama first, you know, kind of like I did in the preview piece I did on Saturday morning. In state was where they were expecting to have 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top five. They ended up having 2 of the top five. And J.J. Pegues, the do-it-all athlete from Oxford, who we talked about, we're going to talk about endlessly on this podcast between now and National Signing Day. Number one, because he's from Oxford, and number two, because he's pretty damn good.
He's really good. I've seen him play.
Yeah.
He's really good.
You've got him, and then Tulu Griffin from Philadelphia. He was there as well. That was his first ever trip to Oxford. This kid from, you know, Philadelphia doesn't really get out overly much. He's going to get out as the recruiting process goes on, and he's going to take visits. And I think he's somebody to watch. He's one of the only Mississippi State commits currently that Ole Miss is really, really high on. If Griffin wanted to flip today, he would flip. He could flip. And then other than that, you had Janari Dean, the athlete from South Panola, who's being recruited at either running back or safety. It's more as to which position he wants to play. You know, you kind of just want to get him on the field. He played both positions last year at South Panola. He'll play both positions again this year at South Panola. He's a really, really talented athlete. I think he's kind of underrated being the number 11 player in the state. I think he's probably up closer towards, you know, 7 or maybe 8. But then, you know, other than that, you had more of the depth and the talent in the state of Mississippi visiting again. And that's something that this class, at least when, at first glance, you don't see the talent being SEC level. Like, you see Leviticus Madison from Meridian coming on a visit. He's listed at 6'3 and 332 pounds. You have no idea, being that he's in Meridian, until he gets onto a campus, you have no idea what he's actually going to measure in it. Is he actually 6'3, 332? Or is he 5'11, 350? And that's what makes these visits so important. And I think those are the parts of these visits that kind of get lost, because the state of Mississippi doesn't get covered as heavily as the other state I cover a lot, which is Georgia. Georgia is almost to the point where it's overcovered and people are getting overrated because of it. And in Mississippi, you have the opposite, where these kids are still getting underrated and, you know, the different pockets of talent are getting seen and others aren't. And then you have these inaccuracies and measurables, and you kind of just got to take a kid at his word for his offer sheet. And that's really something during the process, at least early on right now, that would be preventable. But at the same time, you kind of just have to let it go, because the state of Mississippi, while it is going to produce double-digit Power 5 signees again this year, is not going to be the class of 2019 every year. And that's something that fans are going to have to realize. And, you know, both in state schools, they're going to be fighting, just like they were last year, for the top names. You know, like Ja'Kevion Brown, McKinley Jackson, J.J. Pegues, even Subbu's going to get national offers. Those kids, Josiah Hayes, they're all going to be cut to the finish. You're going to be going up until signing day trying to get them. It's not going to be, you know, hey, so-and-so's committed to so-and-so, to Ole Miss or to Mississippi State early on, and his recruitment process is shut down. So that's not going to happen. It's simply not. And I think that is something that fans of both programs are going to have to get used to, because Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, they're all coming and they're all still going to come. They're not afraid of anything. And they showed that last year, and the success that they showed, it started going a little bit of a rant, but the success that they showed is prevalent enough for them to come back again when the evaluation period starts in a couple weeks.
Interesting stuff. All right, I'm going to ask you about just a handful of guys, kind of getting some specifics on individual people. I know you've written a lot about Jacoby Criswell. Does he fit the offense?
You know, that's where you kind of got to still, I would say, wait and see with Criswell. I wouldn't take him today if I were Ole Miss. You've got a handful of other options. You've even got in-state kids. I know everybody knows Jimmy Holiday is not going to play quarterback in college, but if you have to recruit him at quarterback to get him committed and, you know, to get him in the class, then that's what you're going to have to do. And if you have to put quarterback next to his name on his commitment graphic, then that's what you're going to have to do. But Criswell will end up playing quarterback. You know, he's around 6 feet tall, which Ole Miss seems to have become. I wouldn't say it hasn't become the norm at quarterback, because you have Kincaid Dent, who's almost a giant. But, you know, you've got Matt Corral, you've got Grant Tisdale, you've got John Rice Plumlee. You've got three guys already under 6 foot who are going to be there for at least two more years.
Yeah.
I mean, Corral will be there at least two more years. Plumlee's got 5 years of eligibility. Tisdale's got 5 years of eligibility. Dent's got 5 years of eligibility. So whether or not you want to invest another spot in one of those, you know, borderline 6 foot quarterbacks who you've got to already tweak the protection schemes from an offensive line standpoint for, you've got to alter his release point, like you saw so many times this past year at Oklahoma with Kyler Murray, being able to, you know, make passes in the pocket without them getting batted down. It also inhibits offensive play calling at the same time. And I'm not sure Rich Rodriguez wants to do that much longer. And I'm also not sure Matt Luke wants to do that much longer. So, you know, Criswell is somebody who they could, you know, take down the road. He is the number one player in the state of Arkansas in a weaker class there. But he's somebody who, at least for right now, I would say is kind of on the back burner. He was the headliner quarterback that was there this weekend, but I'd expect some other headliner quarterbacks to visit in the coming weekend.
Tell me about Carson Beck. and the domino effect at quarterback.
Yeah, so Carson Beck was committed to Alabama, decommitted, ended up, he was a major Florida lead, and Georgia was pushing for Robbie Ashford, the quarterback from Hoover, the dual sport athlete. And once Beck visited Georgia, he was done. He was ready to commit. He committed the day after, and that's kind of set Ashford's recruitment back. And in turn, that set quite a few other, you know, highly touted quarterbacks, kind of set their recruitment back a bit to where they got to kind of reset and see their options, because, you know, Georgia was throwing out quarterback offers all over the country. And now it seems as if Ashford's going to end up in the typical spot for a Birmingham area quarterback, which is Auburn, despite the coaching turmoil and everything. And you know, also going on another quick little spot with Auburn. Auburn's going to try to build their class as highly as they can, similar to what Ole Miss did last year, but they're under different circumstances. You know, everybody knows Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. The coaches are leaving if they can. You know, offensive coordinator left, went to Kansas, is now the head coach at Troy, and you've had several other position coach changes. You know, Wesley McGriff joined the staff there. They're going to try to add as many commitments as they possibly can and to build that. And I see that getting in the way of some early momentum for Ole Miss with some kids. But those same kids, you know, kind of like when Chizik was let go after, you know, he was, the recruiting the class for Auburn is going to be up for grabs. And whether or not they're verbally committed there or not, when that time comes, it doesn't really, you know, play too much of a factor.
T. Hodge, no offer. Why is that?
So T. Hodge, he's a 4-star on Rivals from Maryville, Tennessee, right outside of Knoxville.
Yeah.
You know, he's really blown up as of late with, you know, Michigan offered him. Let's see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who else offered him. You know, he's gotten quite a pretty big offer. Let's Georgia Tech actually offered yesterday. Hugh Freeze and Liberty offered him. I mean, you see these schools, like, from a distance standpoint, pulling the trigger on him. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, he's somebody, you know, everybody's got to have. And he shows some trait of a SEC caliber running back. But then at the same time, when you see him in person, you know, he may not, like I was talking about earlier, he may not be what he's listed at from a height and weight standpoint. He may not be as explosive on the 40-yard dash, or, you know, he may not be as explosive as a running back as you see on tape, because he's going up against inferior talent. You have those kind of issues, and then you also have the issue where, you know, there could be some misevaluation. There could be some I wouldn't call them overrated, but I would say that you've got to look at these offers and all the tweets coming out where, you know, blessed to receive offer from so-and-so. One thing I'm really glad kids don't do anymore is count them. That was a pet peeve of mine. But when you see all of these offers, you got to remember, a lot of those offers are camp offers. Like, I guarantee you, if he called Jim Harbaugh tonight and said, "Coach, I want to run through that tunnel. I want to wear that winged helmet. I want to be a Michigan Wolverine." They would try to hold him off as long as they could, because those are camp offers. Those are come to Michigan, come wear the Jordan logo in a camp and show us what you got. That's the situation taking place right now. And I would say that Hodges' increased offer list holds true to that sentiment.
You referred to the McKinley Jackson recruitment as the McKinley Jackson saga. Explain.
So McKinley Jackson he's been committed to LSU. He showed up at the Rivals camp last February in Mobile in an Alabama shirt. I mean, the kid is 5-star talent. You know, when his light is on, when the effort is there. When the effort is not there, that's where you've kind of got to question. But you've got to question his. Oh, I don't know how to say this. I guess you have to question his fitness, and then that you've also got to kind of question the coaching, especially in a school like George County. You know, he's not going to get pushed to a new level like he would, let's say, if he was at I hate to say it, but IMG. You know, let's say he was at IMG and getting pushed every day in practice and getting pushed in scrimmages and in games and in school. You know, him being pushed that way, you've kind of got to go one way or another. And his recruitment's kind of been the same way. You know, he's got one way. He can stay in state and play at Ole Miss or Mississippi State. He will tell you if you talk to him that sub and miss is in the picture. I can assure you that he will not be a Golden Eagle. But other than that, you've got Alabama, you've got LSU, you've got Florida State, you've got Florida. You've got schools from all over the country who are ready, willing, and able to do whatever it takes to land McKinley Jackson. And this past weekend, McKinley Jackson was expected in Oxford. I talked to him on Friday night when he tells me he's coming, and I'm like, you know, so, hey, you are going to take a trip to Oxford. And he's like, you know what, I'm not really sure. You know, I'm trying to figure it all out. And I was like, well, why is that? And, you know, 12 hours driving is not my ideal way to spend a Saturday, for paraphrasing him, of course. But that's basically what he said. And, you know, being able to visit schools while also being open to the process is something that he's going to have to do, especially if he wants to play, you know, at an SEC level. So he's going to have to take those visits that are going to take him 12 hours, you know, driving back and forth. Or, you know, he may have to bring a family member with him to, you know, help pay for a hotel or, you know, something like that, something along those lines, or get something like that, you know, situated and taken care of, so he's able to I guess, see the campus and not just the football part of things. That's another thing that's going to be important in Jackson's recruitment is, you know, where does he fit as a person? And that's where you see these Mississippi kids, the highly rated ones in the past couple of years. I'm not going to name them. I don't want to piss people off. I've done that enough lately. But you see these kids and they choose the out-of-state schools because I don't know if they don't want the pressure or if they just want to get out. And that's the vibe I still see with McKinley. I mean, every Ole Miss person you talk to thinks that they're going to get McKinley, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see, because I disagree. I think he's going to go out of state. Do I know which school yet? No. But I know how these recruitments have played out in the past couple of years, and these in-state kids end up going out of state, especially the ones like McKinley.
I know where he's going. I can't tell you, but I know where he's going. It rhymes with Shoebell Tim.
Well, there you go. You heard it first here on the Soft Verbal Podcast.
Someone that is an alum of that school used some Hilton Honors points and got him to a town that rhymes with the word Funro. And I'm telling you, this thing's over. Book it. Warhawk. I mean, dang, I gave it away. Gosh, dog it. All right. What is – I know Pegues is going to go to the end. He's a really good kid. He's a great player, J.J. Pegues from Oxford. What do you sense that he's kind of waiting on to make a commitment, whether it's Alabama or Ole Miss or wherever?
I still have my future cast in for Pegues to end up at Ole Miss. Haven't changed that yet. Don't think I'm going to change that. He was on the campus of Ole Miss last week twice. And I kind of am starting to get the vibe that it's coming. I'm not exactly sure I would call him the next commitment, but he's pretty far up there. He'd be one of the three I would give you. Alabama is still in the picture. Alabama has a committable grade on him, so he has a committable offer from there, which is – I think he's maybe one of 20-ish guys on Alabama's board that are out of state and have committable offers and aren't committed. So I think that's something that kind of weighs in his mind a little bit as he eventually decides whether or not he wants to stay home. But I would say those are the only two main schools in his recruitment. And I think it's more of a win and not an if with the Yeez right now.
What about Randy Anderson?
So for Randy Anderson, for people who don't know, he is the athlete from Lafayette High School who plays quarterback, will not play quarterback in college whatsoever. He's very talented. He's just undersized, and then early on right now, you know, there are some whispers and some rumblings about him possibly not being able to qualify. And those are two things. When you are undersized and at risk of, you know, you have that off the field risk of not qualifying, that's a killer for your recruitment early on in the process. Now, once you get to camps in the summer and you show out in person in front of these coaches, or they see you in a track meet during the evaluation period, or they see things like that, that's where you could see some offers and some maybe Ole Miss gets in the picture heavily with him. But right now, with those two variables, it's almost like he's a lame duck, but he's still got the talent. He's still got everything that you need to play in the SEC. It's just the size standpoint, they need to get him on campus and get him measured, which they may have done this past weekend. And then you've got the grade situation, which, you know, at Lafayette, you're going to have to take care of.
All right, which Alabama commitment from the weekend? I know there were several. I talked to someone kind of around the program who said, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss has a chance at some of those guys. Which Alabama commitment from the weekend does Ole Miss have the best chance to flip, in your opinion?
See, this is where covering Georgia Tech kind of helps me, because I've talked to the wide receiver from McEachern, Georgia, Devon Baker, at length several times, to the point to where I would classify Ole Miss and Georgia Tech actually as two of his top schools, despite his commitment to Alabama. With Ole Miss, you know, you have the recent history at receiver, you have the explosiveness at the position now, you have the depth that they've got, and you've got Jacob Peeler still there, the wide receiver coach, obviously, who has done an excellent job recruiting and is probably the best recruiter on the staff right now. So you've got these variables, and then you've got, you know, the recent history in the state of Georgia being able to pull kids out of there and get them to the league. You know, you've got Robert Kendici and a couple others. And, I mean, the state of Florida is where more of them are coming. You know, you've got Laramie Tunsil, Alex Weber. You've got Zedrick Woods. You've got three future NFL players who – You being able to have that recent history at those type of pipelines in Florida and Georgia, there's things that could really pay off. But Baker's recruitment, you know, he's committed to the old wide receiver coach at Alabama. So I wouldn't exactly call him a firm commitment there. I would say actually all of the Alabama commitments are not firm, the ones that visited this weekend at least.
All right, let's do not necessarily rapid fire. Let's get through some of these kind of quickly. Just your overall biggest takeaway from the last weekend. I know you've touched on pretty details of it. Just kind of a consensus thought on what you took away from it.
So a real kind of quick consensus thought is that, number one, the state of Alabama is going to be – I would say a prediction of mine right now would be that Ole Miss is going to sign almost as many kids, if not as many kids, from the state of Alabama in the 2020 class as they do from the state of Mississippi. Okay. The state of Alabama has a ton of talent, and Ole Miss has a ton of connections in the state, which I think, you know, for a lot of those guys, it's a secondary talent. You know, they've got Mississippi connections and all of that, but being able to have the connections they have, you know, Roach has in the state of Alabama, other coaches on the staff will have in the state of Alabama, Koontz will have in the state of Alabama. You've got relationships with high school coaches. You've got what Tyler Siski has in the Mobile. I mean, you have these situations, and you have what Derek Nix has in certain parts of Alabama. You've got these secondary relationships that really could pay off, especially with because Alabama, the state of Alabama is hyping up their class like it's last year's Mississippi. And being able to capitalize on that is something that Ole Miss is going to want to do. And it's something that they're going to need to do.
All right, here we go. I know people love this kind of stuff, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
Who's the next commitment?
So Jabari Small doesn't have an offer, but I still put him in there. J.J. Pegues and Ja'Kevion Brown from Horn Lake, the linebacker.
Okay. One of those two.
Ja'Kevion Brown was on campus this weekend. Pegues was on campus this weekend. And Jabari Small will end up at Ole Miss if they offer.
Yeah, I think so, too. I've heard the exact same thing.
I still think it's a when they offer, not an if they offer.
Yeah. I do too, actually. It's one of the.
They're going to need a running back in this class, so.
Yeah. Do you think Ole Miss is going to use some of the early official visits? And if not, why not?
I would say the only way you could see that happening is kind of, you know, last year what they had to do when they brought in Grant Tisdale on an official visit. I could see them doing something kind of similar to that this year, but I know that they're going to want to avoid those at all costs. Because you saw, as you know, especially for a February signee, what the hell does an official visit you took in April have to do with January 28, 2020? I mean, if you could bring the same kid on an official January, the last weekend in January, and the third week in April, let's say April 6th, the day of their spring game, which one would you rather do? And a lot of these schools, they're going to try to get the kids to commit early and get them wrapped up and then kind of force them nicely to sign in December, which if you're able to pull that off, that's nice. But like you saw this past year, there are going to be a handful, a large handful of really talented kids who aren't going to fall to that pressure. They're not going to fall for that trap. They're not going to sign their letter of intent the last week in December before Christmas. And these kids, they're taking these official visits in April and May and even in June. And you're like, what are you doing? I mean, I would say that was what helped Ole Miss the most with Lakia Henry, was the fact that they didn't use their official visit with him any earlier than they did, because Arkansas had already hosted him before he took the visit. All of the schools that were in the picture hosted him before he took the visit. And that's something that I see them using again. And I'm kind of curious if, you know, some other big schools do some research and kind of realize that you know, the early official visits aren't working. You know, last year you had Jerrion Jones from Northwest Rankin, Mississippi, took an early official visit to Oklahoma and committed there. And, you know, he got the commitment to Oklahoma, everything that comes with that. And then he decommitted from Oklahoma just a few months later, ended up with Mississippi State. You didn't hear a word about Oklahoma and him again the entire rest of the process. And if these schools want to build, you know, early buzz, host the kids on an unofficial visit. Or, you know, kind of, you got to figure out a way around it, because wasting the official visit this early in the process is one of the most dangerous things you can do, especially for a kid, you know, in the state of Mississippi. You agree?
Yeah, no, I do. I think you wait as long as possible, unless it's a kid that you think is going to commit, and when he commits, you think it's done. And there just aren't many of those kind of kids around.
Well, you don't see a Grant Tisdale, you know, the Allen High School mindset where you try to commit before the season. You don't see those kind of things anymore. High school coaches are losing control of their players' recruitments every day.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it works. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't think it works. All right, let's see. A lot of NFL talk, obviously, around Oxford, as you can imagine. Saw DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, all those guys, DeMarcus Lodge. They were all Javon Patterson. They were all in Oxford last night for Ole Miss, Kentucky. They all had most of them had great combines. Did the combine performances help recruiting at all?
I would say, you know, anytime you can get national writers to, you know, you talk about Ole Miss and to showcase, I guess, what Ole Miss was able to do in that situation, despite the, I hate to go back to it again, the lack of coaching on, in the Ole Miss offense last year, and what they were able to do in a combine atmosphere, I would say it did. I mean, because imagine those players if they would have had good coaching, not good coaching, but schematic coaching. I mean, and for the coaches at Ole Miss now, if they were here last year, which there are still a few, you know, they're able to say, hey, you know, imagine what we could do with you and this new thing we've got going with Rich Rod and this new thing we've got going with Mac and the 3-4 defense. You know, we're going to try to bring back the, I hate to say it, you know, it's, you hate it too, the Landshark thing and the defense. But those are the things that these kids are hearing. You know, they, Ole Miss, when they're recruiting defensive players, they're going to talk about the return of the Landshark defense. They're going to talk about being able to see DK, AJ, Javon, Jordan, Zedrick. Oh, I'm missing somebody, a couple people, but you know, you have that much of a presence at the combine for a team and a program that didn't have much success throughout their 3 or 4 years in the program. When you're able to show that, it's something that can definitely help and benefit them.
Yeah, I agree. How important is it? How important is it for those guys, for some of these guys, you know, Greg, AJ, DK, some combination thereof? How important is it for them to go in the first round? See, I think it's vital. I think it's vital that you can prove that a program can produce not only first round picks, but first round picks that leave early. I think it's critical for your recruiting big time players.
It is. I agree for sure. I think that being able to do that and to show that an out-of-state kid, again, like Greg, like Laramie, and like possibly Darius Thomas or Jeremy James or somebody else they signed.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these out-of-state kids they signed. Being able to number one, fit into the culture at Ole Miss, and number two, to be able to, like you said, you know, go in the first round. Do I think all three go in the first round? It depends who you talk to.
Yeah, it's a little early to take too much stock on some of the mocks. They're fun, but like I saw where Eric Edholm has a mock out, and Eric's great. He's got DK going in the top 10 now. He didn't have the other two going in the first round, so you know, who knows. All right, before we go, let's touch basketball. Basketball's a pretty big topic here. Ole Miss and Missouri on Saturday. A win probably puts Ole Miss in the – doesn't probably, it does put Ole Miss in the NCAA tournament. A loss makes next week nerve-wracking at a minimum. A lot of people ask you, they ask me about Kadeem Sy. I suspect we're hearing some of the same things, but go ahead.
Yeah, I would guess we probably are. The LSU situation is kind of unraveling more – publicly than I think LSU wanted, Will Wade wanted, and anybody else affiliated with that program really wanted, because it's starting to play a role in recruiting. I mean, at one point, LSU was trending for Kadeem Sy and Trendon Watford. Trendon Watford got wind of things a while back, and I can't even predict or guess where he's going to go to school. But with Kadeem Sy, you know, he's not taking his visits right now, and
I might put a penny on. Said, I might put a penny on Trendon Watford's recruitment. Not a nickel. But a penny.
Just a penny.
Might put a penny on it.
But with Kadeem, you know, he's going to wait until his season ends. You know, Daytona State's still playing, and Ole Miss is going to wait a while before, you know, kind of going back over there to see him again, because they only have a couple contacts and evals left. What have you heard? Have you heard pretty close to the same?
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I've heard there's an increased optimism around Ole Miss lately about Sy. I think there's optimism about him. I think there's optimism that Jamin Brakefield is going to reclassify ultimately, and that if he does, Ole Miss has a great chance. Hadn't heard much about Robinson lately, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think there's going to be turnover on this team. I don't think there's any question about it. I think they're going to get into the grad transfer market, which won't take shape until April.
I think they're not going to pursue Jalen Fisher, the kid from TCU from Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not going to happen. The injuries are too much.
Yeah, they've got to go 2 for 2 there. I think they're going to get a post that can play. I think they need to get a combo guard that can play. It doesn't have to be a point. Can be a combo because Brian can play some point. Look, man, I think they're gonna go elephant hunting a little bit on some guys, and if they land some guys, it's gonna be they'll go one route, and if they don't, they'll circle back and go another. But I expect transition inside that program. I know that this is a win away from the NCAA tournament, which is an incredible accomplishment, but this is not going to be a staff, in my opinion, that sits pat. I think they're gonna move.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. And I also think there is a chance they could take a 2019 point guard as well.
Yeah.
Like a class of 2019
yeah.
combo guard, I guess.
Yeah.
Like with the 5 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who, but I actually think I can't confirm or deny it, but I'm pretty sure Kermit seeing Brakefield tonight.
He's gone up there a lot.
Tonight, which is Wednesday night. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, he's gone up there. They've recruited him hard, man. I mean, if they don't get him, it won't be for lack of effort. They have done as solid a job recruiting him as anybody, probably a more solid job than anyone else. We'll reconvene next week. We'll have to do it early in the week just for your planning purposes because I'll have to leave for Nashville probably on Tuesday. So why don't we hold off on the rest of the basketball stuff, see if we can't kind of gather some information and touch on that if you've got some time Monday or early Tuesday before I head out. So probably Monday, actually. Russell, if you can, we'll do a short recruiting podcast that may be more basketball-oriented and maybe even – I'm not promising this, listeners, but maybe even more big-picture, nationally-oriented on some of this. – LSU's not the only program that their recruiting is being impacted by this case. This is a weird basketball recruiting cycle. I'll just leave it that. It's going to be different. Inflation hit football. Deflation has hit basketball.
There you go.
So we'll see if we can do that. If we can't, we'll maybe put together some sort of a written Q&A or something. We'll come up with something or try to come up with something basketball recruiting related going into the SEC tournament. Russell, great stuff as always. Really appreciate the time here and hope you have a great weekend. A reminder, everybody, about Dead Soxy. Try those no-show socks. Go to deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code Rebel Grove. You'll save 30%. It's a fantastic product. It's the best sock you've ever put on. They stay up. They don't tear. They stay cool on the hottest of days, even when you're on your feet all day. It's a great product. You'll love them. And we appreciate the people at Dead Soxy for sponsoring this podcast. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. Until next time, take care.